theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, beautiful people. This is Jonathan Button here. Hello, Quinn. How are you?
Hello, this is Quinn Button here. Yes.
We are having another wonderful conversation with our friends. I hope you enjoyed the one yesterday.
Yeah.
And today we are kind of doing another, like, this is an amazing letter that we found. And
yeah.
We found it on Reddit. Highly recommend Reddit. If you're not on Reddit, go get with the times. Reddit is a very cool website where you can go and find what's trending online, and then there's fun and quirky articles, sometimes images, and it's always very interesting. Sometimes you learn, sometimes you laugh.
Yeah.
Highly recommend Reddit.
I totally agree.
It's a great app, and you can find the website. And this specific article was on a letter from a principal in Singapore to his students. And I think it's really insightful, and I think it's well worthy of a great discussion.
I agree. And actually, the principal's, this letter is about the students, but it's to the parents of the students, which I think is really very interesting. And I think we'll just start off by reading it to you all, and then we'll just discuss it and the significance of this, at least in our eyes, right?
That sounds great.
Okay, so it says, "Dear parents, the exams of your children are to start soon. I know you are all really anxious for your child to do well, but please do remember, amongst the students who will be sitting for the exams, there is an artist who doesn't need to understand math. There is an entrepreneur who doesn't care about history or English literature. There is a musician whose chemistry marks won't matter. There is an athlete whose physical fitness is more important than physics. If your child does get top marks, that's great. But if he or she doesn't, please don't take away their self-confidence and dignity from them. Tell them it's okay. It's just an exam. They are cut out for much bigger things in life. Tell them no matter what they score, you love them and will not judge them. Please do this. And when you do, watch your children conquer the world. One exam or a low mark won't take away their dreams and talent. And please, do not think that doctors and engineers are the only happy people in the world. With warm regards." And then it's the principal.
Wow.
Yeah.
What'd you think about it? Because I have like a million thoughts. Like I just felt really connected with that letter.
Yeah. It's a very evolved letter, I feel. Mm. You know, knowing what we know now about children and their development and the mental health, you know, we know a lot more than even our parents did when they were kids, right?
Yeah.
And there's at least a lot more science behind it, but then there's also a lot more awareness behind it. And this can go definitely too far, right? Mm-hmm. To the point where you're like sheltering someone too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this really gets at the heart of like, what is education really for, right?
Yeah.
And I do think that this is a really good, I mean, it's like I said, very evolved letter to the parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously there's an issue. This letter only happens because there's an issue,
right?
Where the parents, there's too much pressure being put on these kids to the point where they like succumb to the pressure.
Yeah,
essentially,
or there's some negative effects perhaps.
Negative effects, exactly. So, but I think that, you know, like there's an athlete, right? Yeah, there's an athlete. And there's an entrepreneur who doesn't really necessarily care right now about English or history. Maybe in the future they will. Like I would say, you know, for sure, later in my adult life, I've come to appreciate subjects that maybe I wasn't really all that interested or excited about when I was in school, right? There's the formal education in a classroom, and then there's your own life education, right, afterwards.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course you are graded on your performance in school.
Right.
But really, just one test when you're in, I mean, I don't even know how old these kids were, but if you're in middle school, really?
Yeah. Even high school though.
Even high school. And of course, you know, the truth is there's this whole system to like continue the perpetuation of this,
right?
You know, I guess stress that is imposed on students, and the students take it on too, obviously. It's part of the culture,
right?
That you respect your elders and that you want to make them happy and whatnot. But really, as a parent, what is your job really? Is it to just ensure that they become an engineer and then no longer have to worry about money?
Yeah.
Or is part of the point of being a parent to like equip your kids to be able to figure out their own path in life and support them forever for whoever they are, right. No matter what.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting because it does go against the grain of like so much of what you think your role should be as like a leader or mentor or parent.
Yeah.
Where you're like all about getting the student to push themselves further beyond what they believe they're capable in achieving. And I think one of the beautiful things about that letter is it makes the parent reflect on what is the whole purpose of pushing my kid. You know, it makes them feel as though they got to take a step back and look at the macro of this whole path that this individual is going to take, and recognizing that there's so much more to their life beyond just their grade in this class or their grade on a specific exam. There's so much more to it. But I do think this is also one of the reasons why so many kids are able to succeed and go to insanely great schools,
right.
is because they were pushed really hard to go after something that may seem unattainable to the child, but because it was emphasized in the household, maybe that was the key to getting them to where they couldn't even imagine going.
Right. No, that's a really good point. So there is that balance. It's like, how do you find that balance where you're pushing them so that they feel like, you know what? Yeah, I can do all of this,
right.
You know, like, and the harder I work, the more I'll see the results of my hard work, you know, but I think what this also kind of gets to, interestingly enough, just thinking off the top of my head, is also something we talk about a lot is failure, right? Like parents, I mean, when they're really thinking about like, you have to get this great grade, right? You have to get a good grade on this test, even like that's super micro. It's like, why can't they fail? Sometimes it's important for them to fail and maybe not fail a test, but maybe they get a C and like, but why'd you get a C? You have to be able to like, it's almost like if you don't let them fail, you're instilling this, this fear that's already existing within all of us. We're already, we all fear failure to a certain level.
Right.
But if you're raising a child and the biggest fear that they have is to disappoint you by failing in school,
that's not healthy.
That's not healthy, right? No. I mean, that's like, in order for someone to really figure out who to be their best selves, and I love how it ends. It says, doctors and engineers are not the only happy people in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the goal of you as a parent? You want your kid to be happy, right? It's not necessarily that you want them to be super wealthy so that they can take care of you later on down the road, right? Maybe that is for some, but maybe. I think that the instilling fear and failure where that's already a fear naturally, and turning that up can be a really detrimental thing later on in the future, but it could also, you know, push someone to succeed as much as they can, but at what cost, I guess.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I keep on thinking about one of a story that we heard when we were in Thailand. We became really close friends with a hotel manager, and he told us about his relationship with his daughter.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely fascinated by his ongoing push of making her, you know, go better and strive for greatness when it came to sometimes like little details that I never think about, like playing the piano and staying strict within the rules of learning the music and playing the classics. And she really enjoyed like creating her own music.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of translates into this principal letter, because the principal letter is kind of making you realize that school doesn't have to be so rigid. It can actually entail much more than just grades and going on to being an engineer or a doctor.
Right.
It should entail athletes and the idea of creativity, and maybe someone's going to be an actor or singer or performer in some other format. And those should all be considered, even though the school itself is kind of cookie cutter to help enable kind of an overarching level for everyone to be, I don't want to say compared, but to at least ensure that they're getting the same level of education at that institution.
Right.
You don't have the ability to have one teacher to one child for every single individual's interest. But I don't know, the system's kind of got a few flaws with it. And I think unintentionally, perhaps that's what the principal brought up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think maybe what you're saying kind of made me realize also, you know, in school, there are these, you know, core curriculum that you have to learn, right? You have to learn a certain level of math. You have to learn a certain level of English or whatever it is, you know, in that school system. And actually, if you think about it, school, because it is actually pretty diverse in terms of like the subjects that you learn. You do learn history, you learn all these different things. And it, if you do it right, I think it allows a child to kind of discover what he or she really is interested in. And perhaps rather than, because I think, you know, our friend that you were talking about with his daughter, I mean, it's really about, you know, honing in and working hard, right? And not not giving up. And I think that's a really good, really good thing to instill into people, right? Is like, don't be lazy. Don't like really just like if you want something, you got to work hard at it. And it's important. That's an important skill. But if someone is struggling with math, like really doesn't understand math or really can't connect with English writing or something like that or history, maybe that's not necessary. It's not necessarily a sign of them not working hard enough. Maybe it's just a sign of like, they're wanting to do something else other than that, right? They just need to get through that. And I saw that a lot when I was teaching at the university level with some of my students, you know, like some of the most creative, brilliant minds who had not been able to actually create in a classroom setting, right? Because maybe their public school cut the arts and the music, right? From the budget. And so now they're at university and they get to choose. And oh my gosh, I'm so excited that I get to choose now. And they thrive, right? I mean, if you're in a situation where you're almost forcing a round peg into a square hole, like you can't force it sometimes.
There is a
moment though, like, you know, perseverance is important where it's like, I'm not really getting this. I got to keep working hard. You just got to, it's hard for a kid to figure out, is this something I just don't care about? I don't want, I'm not good at, and I should focus on something that I am good and I love? Or is it, I have to push through this, use my perseverance to get through it, and eventually I'll start to get it, you know?
That's an interesting point.
And so like, where's the role of the teacher and the parent? I feel like that's kind of where that comes into play, is like, these kids don't know. So rather than saying, well, you're going to be an engineer, like, I just think that the whole idea that you're going to force a kid to be something that they are when they're little,
that's,
you know,
rough,
is kind of weird.
In general, I don't know if you could technically force them to do it, but you can push them hard and try to sell it to them. And then hopefully if that's your goal, they adapt the same goal. But that just sounds weird even just saying it. I want to go back to what you're talking about with our experience at university, because I sincerely believe that one of the best things about higher education is it allows you to customize your educational path,
right?
And that freedom of picking your own classes, yes, sometimes you have to take certain general ed,
right?
But even in freshman year of college, you still get flexibility of like, which type of math class do I want to take? And in high school, it's very, very, very limited. And you really have to take certain classes in order to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, in high school, like I remember, you know, you had to take chemistry, right?
I hated chemistry so much. That was like one of my least favorite classes of all time, for sure. Great teacher, but I just, it's not for me. And so I'm wondering, what is your vibe when it comes down to saying that this individual needs to take this general ed class? And it kind of, like, I get it. It makes sense. I now see the world in a new perspective because I understand how math works, you know, on a calculus level. But am I really using calculus daily in my life, or how does that integrate into my normal things? I mean, I get it, but I also, to a certain point, I'm like, I don't know how vital that is.
Yeah, no, that, I think that's a good point. I think, though, when you get to a university level, if you expect to be at the higher, you're pursuing higher education, I think there's an expectation that everyone is at this type of level. We can all agree that you have this level of knowledge of math, this level of knowledge in English writing, this level, you know, so like,
so it is necessary.
I feel like, well, I mean, how else are you going to like actually be able to measure whether or not someone can keep up, right? I mean, especially if you're going for, you know, an undergrad, you know, a really difficult school to get into. I mean, it seems like today, I mean, it's really, really hard to get in, even if everyone has like great grades and whatnot. I mean, it does really also depend on what school you went to, right? So,
Unfortunately,
unfortunately it does. I mean, whether that's private school or public school, what, you know, school district did you have? But I also think, you know, on a micro level too, a teacher really has a lot of influence on whether a kid actually connects with the subject or
Absolutely.
Not, right?
Absolutely, I agree with that.
And so there's a lot of different things. And even parents can play a huge role too in getting a kid actually interested in it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
As opposed to just say, hey, you got to do this.
I completely agree. But one thing that I think we need to fully disclose to our wonderful listeners is we are not parents.
Obviously, yeah.
We are teachers,
yeah.
And we will continue to be teachers for the rest of our life in some form or another, as I sincerely believe we are all teachers in some way or another. And I believe to my core that there is a massive ability for us through our relationships to be able to have a positive impact on others, even if the material is not interesting at all.
Yeah.
There's a way of almost like translating that to make it so that it is interesting.
Yeah.
I remember in my entrepreneurship class on campus, whenever I started, I always asked, how many of you want to be an entrepreneur? How many of you are dedicated to not being an entrepreneur? And how many of you are kind of considering it?
Yeah.
And I was always honestly disappointed to find out how many people were actually dedicated to not becoming an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
But once you kind of grasp that reality that these individuals are taking this course because they have to take a certain amount of business courses in order for them to get their degree, which could be accounting or finance. I mean, there's so many different options. Then it kind of becomes a little bit of a different game. So I'm not teaching them or I'm not preparing them to be entrepreneurs, but I'm kind of training them to perhaps think a little bit more entrepreneurially.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's like you're basically trying to instill an entrepreneurial mindset regardless
exactly.
of what they do.
Right.
And I mean, they're young. I mean, if you don't want to start a business right now, perhaps you've just never had anyone in your life who did that. And or you realize and you understand how difficult that is, or you really have just been instilled in your brain, you just need to get a job.
Yeah.
And like, that's where you're at right now.
Right.
Right? But at least, you know, because there have been many times where we've looked back on classes and we're like, wow, that really was so influential in like what we ended up doing, you know?
Yeah.
You never know. One class can really change a person's life. So I think that like what we're really talking about too is kind of teetering on like, well, how do you find that balance,
mm-hmm.
you know, in school with the students?
Mm-hmm.
How do you instill that, you know, elusive characteristics of grit, right?
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
perseverance, where you really are going to work hard. You're not going to give up. You're not working just to like get the accolade,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the test. It's not about the money. It's not about the title. It's about you growing,
mm-hmm,
right? That growth mindset kind of a thing. And then versus, you know, actually figuring out or helping someone figure out what it is that they love to do that would make them really thrive, that if they really invested their time and energy into this, they would be great at it.
I remember that time. It was so difficult to figure out what you want to do.
Oh,
I mean,
so.
Oftentimes I think people just replicate people that they're around.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if my dad's a doctor, I'm going to be a doctor too. Or,
yeah.
Or look at your Uncle Jerry. He's a top businessman. You should be like that,
yeah.
you know, or whatever. And I feel as though the reality is you got to kind of just take a massive step back, kind of separate yourself from that, and then look at the broad spectrum of options. At Harvard University, they do not require you to pick a major at the beginning. They
mm-hmm.
want you to kind of have a bit of freedom and dipping in different sauces and figuring out which one is your flavor. But they do expect it by the time you get to like the end of your sophomore year.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have a more clear path as to how to graduate and what is going to be required of you to do so.
Yeah.
But I completely believe that it's necessary to have that time to really figure out what is best for you. And that could be an ongoing journey even after you graduate too. You know, I don't feel like you always have to be just one type of career path person.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
I mean, nowadays, how many people work for a company out of college and then stay with that company throughout their whole entire life?
Very few these days.
Yeah, I mean, we both had grandparents that stuck with a job like from beginning all the way to the very end. And that was the way it was. But nowadays, I'd be very curious what the average amount of job transitions is for an individual.
Yeah, it's actually, it's really, there's a lot of research done on this, and it's pretty high, the turnover rate, especially for our generation and younger too.
Yeah.
Part of that has a lot to do with how positions are structured also in companies right now. I mean, in the time, the golden era of, like, you know, basically working for a corporation is where our grandparents were working, where they did, you know, they worked, basically that was their first job, and then they retired with that same company, but there was also that, you know, amazing retirement plan at the end of it. So you knew, and you could retire pretty young. You didn't have to wait until you were 60 something, you know? So I just think that, I mean, that's one factor, but we're just focusing on, you know, like, what do people want? And actually, what does this world require? I mean, do you want, I mean, this kind of goes back to even our conversation about specialization versus range, right? And really, what are your experiences? And actually, the more experiences that you have, the more versatile you are in like your ability to adapt in your position, right? Or, you know, basically pivot and go to a whole different industry and totally be fine with that, you know?
In a weird way, sometimes I enjoy those transitions. I enjoy transitions in general. Sometimes there's a lot of uncertainty, but I mean, they don't teach that in school.
They don't. You know? Well, there's a lot that they could and they should probably teach in school. And I think that one that starts with personal finance, because not everyone in their family is talking about personal finance, right? They just think that, oh, that's something that the family will teach them. But no, I mean, actually a lot of parents aren't even that, you know, well trained in exactly how to budget or how to really, I guess, manage their own personal finances. So, or sometimes they have, there's this culture of, like, you don't talk about money, which is totally fine. But at the same time, how is anyone supposed to know when they're 18 years old and they're supposed to get their first credit card? You know, like, when is a moment of, like, okay, I feel like I have the tools I'm equipped with that I acquired to be a full-on adult. Like, at 18 years old, that doesn't necessarily mean you're really an adult.
Definitely not. But I do think that it, I think based on this conversation, we're kind of recognizing that there are certain subjects that are very important for individuals to take prior to entering higher education or within higher education. But I also think that we're also emphasizing the importance of recognizing that it's a much bigger picture than just one single grade. You don't have to be the A-plus student in chemistry, but you should be able to at least get, ideally you want to get at least a B. You know, like you've comprehended it and you check that off the list, and now new doors are open because you ideally at least got a B.
Yeah, well,
and that's my mindset.
No, 100%. And I think, like, even in this day, right, like, okay, everyone has a certain grade level maybe that they're trying to get to in order to go to the best schools in the country, or to just go to a school, which is a privilege in of itself after high school. And but really, what are they looking at now? I mean, if everyone's kind of at the same level and everyone's getting kind of the same, you know, general, you know, SAT scores or, you know, whatever standardized test they're taking score. And then what do they look at? I mean, then it's like, well, you got to be a well-rounded person. Like, what are you doing, you know, besides just studying and learning and trying to get these grades? And I think that that really kind of almost speaks to, I mean, obviously the difficulty of really trying to be competitive and going into, like, the best schools around the world in college. But I really also think that that's really kind of what it's all about too. It's not just about the grades that you get in school. It's also about, like, what kind of a human are you becoming? Mm-hmm. Are you someone who, like, doesn't have a social life at all because all you're doing is just studying and trying to appease your parents, right? So they can make sure that you get the good grade on the next test or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you kind of lose sight of, I mean, no one wants to look back on their childhood and be like, well, all I did was work. Because like, all you're going to do is work when you're an adult too. So like, you got to find that healthy balance. And so really, I think this principal's letter just kind of coming full circle is really emphasizing that, like, it's okay if it's not, if they're not A-plus students.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have to explain that to parents obviously shows, you know, kind of the culture around, you know, I don't know. It's obviously
the culture around parents trying to teach their kids that you need to get straight A's in all of your classes if you want to get to where we expect you to go.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is a flaw in itself. But you did bring up the point of being a well-rounded individual. How much of an effect do you think that has on, like, public schools? Because I completely understand that with a lot of private schools, that's kind of a big thing. Like, why should, if everyone's getting straight A's, what makes you different? And maybe you played sports, maybe you, I don't know, were in the performing arts, maybe you wrote a script. I don't know. Like, those are the cool things that they're probably looking for. And I do think they play a major role in it. But at the same time, how much of an effect does that have if you're just trying to go to, I shouldn't say just trying, but if you're trying to go to a non-private school?
Yeah. I think that the essay, I think it all kind of comes down a lot to one's essay. I mean, what is your experience? Obviously, I don't know this. I've never actually been on the board of reviewing, you know, people's applications or anything like that. But I even think back about, and I've been asked a lot of times to kind of review people's, you know, different applications for whatever school. And, you know, these essays, it's like, you know, just kind of like a normal, you know, run of the mill story of like struggles of childhood. And it's like, well, that's okay. I understand, you know, how that felt like a really big deal for you, but like really
a lot of kids experience that
too. So like really, what are you doing, you know, to get yourself, I mean, it, you don't have to like think and live outside the box only when you're an adult, right? Yeah. I mean, like if you're, and this is where I think the parents do come into play. Like if you were really, really passionate about theater and that was like something that you really wanted to do and your parents were like, yeah, hell yeah, do that. That's obviously going to make you very different, especially if you're going into, you're trying to study like microbiology at a school, right? Yeah. Whoa, that's really different. Like we talk about like, you know, cross-pollination of different schools, you know, on campus and how so that important. Really helps, you know, enrich the research that will become knowledge for us all to understand and know about like human behavior or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the odd thing too about our PhD, in a weird way, I've always thought about this, is that they give you 2 years and you basically can almost pick your classes. At least in my program, I had the freedom to really pick the classes across campus as long as they were at the PhD level.
To a certain degree,
It was nice. It was a lot more flexibility. And so like I went over to the design school, right? And to the graphic design. And I understood just to learn like interaction with design, right? And biomimicry and all these different ways that people are designing and how that really works, like just from the people who that's all they do, right? And then took, you know, take a class in psychology and then take a class, you know, you can actually go all around the campus. And I think to me, that really broadened my own horizons of like, by the time I had to figure out what my dissertation was going to be, you know, that really gave me some, I ended up coming up with a really unique dissertation,
right?
You know, partially because of that.
Yeah. I enjoyed taking classes outside of the business school and I was hoping to use them for my dissertation,
but
sometimes PhD programs are not able to allow you to be fully bloomed. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's true. There is a restriction because there's a certain system. You have to understand and learn the scientific process and all of that stuff. But what I guess I'm saying really to kind of like make it more generalizable to everyone is really diversifying your own background and your passion. I feel like, you know, if you're passionate about theater and that's what you're doing, but you're also really, really wanting to be in microbiology in order to, you know, I don't know, cure cancer or something that. Whoa, that's you're a really interesting and unique individual.
Yeah,
you know,
that's like where the best creativity comes from.
Exactly. If you've got passion and interest in multiple seemingly like divergent subjects, you know, you're like, whoa, that's an interesting human being. You know, like you want to talk about who we find the most interesting people are like the Renaissance people, like who understand history, but then also like really geek out about physics. And then also, you know, kind of go back and forth between the arts and the science. And stuff like that. So I don't know. I think that there's a lot more to education than just a grade in a class and a grade on a test. And I think that's really what the principal is kind of trying to emphasize. Yeah. And so, it's a good lesson for us all.
So if we did, well, as we continue to teach, do you believe that we're going to like kind of emphasize this principle? Because you want them to succeed in your class. But at the same time, I think kind of the message is this is only one class. I do want you to get a good grade. It is going to be helpful on your journey. And maybe we don't know why right now, but I really want you to succeed. But at the same time, I don't want you to feel like too much pressure. So how do you balance that?
Well, I think that actually that's a good point. And absolutely. Like if we end up teaching more, you know, this is definitely something I would emphasize to students. And I have actually in the past where it's like, you know, people get really nervous about tests. Some people get really, really anxious. It just triggers them for some reason, right? And that may have to do with what this principal is saying. Maybe it has to do with their parents or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But something happens, and by just saying, "Hey, this is just a test.
Right.
It's just a bunch of letters on a piece of paper or on a computer screen. Mm-hmm. It's not defining who you are. No matter what happens after this."
Yeah.
That's a really powerful statement for anyone, especially those who have anxiety when it comes to test taking
yeah.
because of whatever pressure they have put on themselves. Maybe they don't think that they're good enough, or right. maybe it's just genuinely they're fearful of failing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I yeah. do think that just saying, hey, and I used that tactic when I was in school myself of like, this is just another test. Like after yeah. this, who cares? Like in yeah. 5 years from now, am I going to remember this test? Do I remember any of the tests that I actually took? I maybe remember like two or three, you know, where I just really, really wanted to do well, you know,
interesting.
But no, I mean, for the most part, how many tests have I taken in my lifetime? A lot. I mean, yeah. we did the whole shebang in terms of education. So yeah. I don't remember all of them.
Yeah, so don't worry about the details too much, but make sure you put in your best effort. I think that's kind of
the idea. Well, yeah, prepare. Yeah. I mean, I think you know you prepare.
Yeah.
And as long as you do that, and I think that's the underlying thing, is just like try your best.
Yeah.
And you know if you prepared or not, and if you didn't yeah. prepare, then you know why you're anxious about it. But if you did, then you're going to get it. You're going to do fine. And just yeah. remember that one test does not define you, nor does one class.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And remember to be a supporting leader.
That's a good point.
Those that you want to succeed.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a great way to end our podcast.
Beautiful.
We always appreciate you all listening. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed the principal letter. And we cannot wait to talk to you tomorrow. Feel free to subscribe.
And if you get a chance, rate us. It helps us out a lot. And we look forward to speaking you with you tomorrow. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.